Welcome to Classic Comedy of Old Time Radio. I'm your host, Ron Eckelbarger. We have heard from a number of people now regarding the intro music. All but one want the music to stay. So it will, as you have heard. Our next episode, The Life of Riley, which comes out on Friday, I will have the user feedback and messages for everybody to hear. Well, here we are at episode number 194 of The Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope. This is the first episode of the sixth season, and it originally aired on September 21st, 1943. Without further ado, here is Bob Hope with his special guest, Bing Crosby.
For the safety of your smile, use Pepsodent twice a day, see your dentist twice a year. Tonight, Bob Hope begins his sixth year with Pepsodent, and again, the Pepsodent Company presents another in a series of broadcasts to our men in the armed forces throughout the United States. Tonight, for the men of the Army in the Southern California sector at Pasadena, the Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope, with Francis Langford, Jerry Colonna, Vera Vague, Stan Kenton and his orchestra, and Bob's special guest, Bing Crosby.
Thank you so much. How about the Navy, huh, boy? How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, this is Bob back on the air, Hope, telling you all to use Pepsodent to make your teeth bright and gleamy so they'll never drop out like Mussolini. Well, here I am back on the air again with the same old sponsor. You know what a sponsor is. That's a top sergeant with money. I've just returned from a tour of the Army camps in Europe. The USO sent me to Europe to boost the morale of the soldiers in the United States. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I heard they were going to open at the second front, so here I am, the first back. I landed back here September the 15th. I didn't intend to come back so soon, but Morgenthau insisted. And I'm only kidding. I think Morgenthau's swell, but I wish he'd stop whistling All or Nothing at All. As soon as I arrived, I called up Rita Hayworth, and I said, "Reedy, this is your sweetie." And a deep bass voice replied, "Quit horsing, this is Orson." Oh, but what a plane trip that was over the Atlantic. We'd been in the plane about 5 minutes, and I felt faint, so I said to the pilot, "Pardon me, sir, but would you mind showing me where the oxygen masks are? It's the altitude, I guess." And he said, "Why, not at all. They're in the back of the plane. Now, is there anything else you'd like before we take off?" And it was really a rough trip, but I wasn't scared until I looked out the window and saw the inside of the plane. I don't know whether my goose pimples were big or not, but an eagle followed the plane for 3 miles, yelling, "If I can catch him, I can hatch him." Then the stewardess tapped me on the shoulder and said, "In case of trouble, the pilot is the last one to leave the plane." I said, "Why tell me?" She said, "Well, I don't want to make you nervous, but there he is down there." And what a time we had in London. The fog there isn't exactly thick, but I saw an air raid there one night, and the anti-aircraft shot down 3 submarines. Shat them down. Yes, sir, but those British really went out of their way to show they liked me. You know how they raised their 2 fingers in a V for victory? Well, to make sure I saw, they stuck them both in my eyes. And the English girls are so different than the American girls. They're so cooperative. Before you whistle at them, they even give you the pitch. We know, don't we, Union? When we landed in Africa, I got out of the plane first and gave the soldiers a little pep talk. Then Francis Langford got out and gave him a little pep. But some of those boys have been in the Army quite a while. In fact, when Francis got out, one old sergeant just looked at her and said, "What is it, a new kind of booby trap?" And of course, there are a lot of Arabs in North Africa. An Arab, that's a fellow who gets out of bed every morning and takes a sheet with him. And in Africa, the girls all wear a veil. A veil, that's a knitted obstacle course. glad we had a great time down there, and just for the fun of it, I put on a uniform and some soldier saw me. He said, "Egad, that General Hershey, is he drafting mothers now, too?" But I want to tell you, it's a real thrill. It's a real thrill to be back here on the Pepsodent Show amongst old friends.
Yoo-hoo, Mr.
Hart! Well, here's Vera Vague. Well, look.
Mr. Hope, we're glad to have you back.
Oh,
we're all so proud of the work you've done this summer. You know, really, this trip you've made is something you'll be able to tell your grandchildren. Or have you told them already? Oh, you see, Mr. Hope, I'm right back in my old form.
Yes, you are. Yes, and you have my sympathy, but you know I'm... I'm still excited about my European tour. You see the suit I'm wearing?
Yes.
Well, I brought it over from England across the Atlantic.
How nice, but you shouldn't have let it drag in the ocean.
Just a minute, Miss Vega. I'll have you know this is genuine English herringbone.
Looks like the herring is still putting up a struggle.
Well, I must say, Miss Vega, you really look fine.
Oh, thank you. Tell me, Mr. Hope, don't you think my figure has improved? My friends say since I've gotten streamlined, I look like the fuselage of a flying fortress.
Well, too bad you can't get the bomb bay doors closed.
You dear boy. You must have been a big hit in Sicily. It's so mountainous there, and a jackass comes in handy.
You look so happy, though. You say you must be doing all right with the romance department.
Oh, yes, I am. The other day, Frank Sinatra threw himself at my feet.
Frank Sinatra threw himself at your feet?
Well, he didn't exactly throw himself at my feet. He let go of the microphone for a minute and fell down.
Well, he'll build. He'll get a little of that Kraft cheese and build. Oh, yes.
Well, I don't care anyway. I have soldiers and sailors just fighting their way into my house.
You have? Well, how do you account for that?
Oh, my charm, my good looks, and my intelligence. And that USO sign out front doesn't hurt either.
Well, Miss Vega, it sounds like you've had a busy summer.
Oh, yes, it's really been wonderful. Every evening, I go down to the canteen and mangle with the soldiers.
No, Miss Vega, not mangle. You mean you go down and mingle with the soldiers.
Oh, yes, ordinarily, but not at my age. You know, Mr. Hope, I expect to find my future husband at the canteen.
Well, you do? Well, tell me, what do you want, Miss Vague? A soldier, a sailor, or a Marine?
Oh, yes! Well, Mr. Hope, let's talk about you. You're so wonderful. To think that you were right up there all the time with our brave soldiers. Oh, kiss me, you hero! Get lost, you civilians!
Poor Miriam neglected using Irium, so she waited for the phone to ring.
Hello.
Wrong number.
Uh-oh. Hello.
Wrong number.
Uh-oh.
So, girls, don't be like Miriam. Use Irium.
It's the film you feel on your teeth that makes your teeth look dull. Pepsodent toothpaste with Irium removes that film, uncovers the natural brightness of your smile. You see, Pepsodent, and only Pepsodent, contains Irium. It loosens film and floats it away quickly, easily, safely. And when film is gone, Pepsodent toothpaste brings new brightness to your teeth. No wonder more people than ever before use Pepsodent toothpaste today. No wonder it's number one with men in the service. Try Pepsodent toothpaste for just 1 week. See if your teeth don't feel cleaner, look brighter. See if it doesn't uncover the natural brilliance of your smile. Get a tube of Pepsodent toothpaste. Remember, Pepsodent, and only Pepsodent, contains Irium.
Dear Miriam, now she's heard of Irium. So the telephone ring is a busy thing.
Hello.
Some number.
Oh, hello.
Some number.
Oh.
So girls, just be like Miriam. use Irium.
Yes, sir. That's a new little racket we have, huh? Isn't that swell? And now, I want you to meet a gal that we're really proud of. A gal who has done an unforgettable job this past summer entertaining our boys in the fighting fronts. Here she is, Miss Frances Langford.
You never know just how much I miss you. You'll never know just how much I care. And if I tried, I still couldn't hide my love for you. You ought to know, for haven't I told you so a million or more times? You went away and my heart went with you. I speak your name in my every prayer. If there is some other way to prove that I love you, I swear I don't know how. You'll never know if you don't.
Thank you, Stan Kenton. That was swell. Say, well, Frances, are you glad to be home?
I certainly am, Bob. Gee, wasn't it thrilling when we first touched American soil again? President Roosevelt himself was at LaGuardia Airport when we landed.
Yeah, he watched everybody get off the plane. Then he said, well, I'll have to do the cooking for a few more days. She must still be in Australia.
Bob.
Oh, swell. Did you notice, in England, the hotel rooms don't have any transoms.
Yes, that was a shame. After you traveled 3,000 miles carrying that pair of stilts.
Well, it was lucky I brought my knee pads along for keyholes anyway.
Gee, it was thrilling to see the British and American boys sharing everything. Even the same reading room in the canteen.
Yeah, but our boys have one bad habit. They cut pages out of the magazines.
They do?
Sure. In fact, for 6 months, the British thought Esquire was a magazine about what the men are wearing. We all have scissors, don't we? Say, did you like England, Frances?
Oh, yes, I did. Outside of drinking tea. Tea in the morning, tea in the afternoon, and tea at night. That's all they do is drink tea.
That's right. In fact, every time an Englishman sees a bag, he drops it in hot water. Lucky I had my water wings with me.
Well, you didn't do so well. Perhaps you'd have made out better with the English girls if you'd have worn a monocle.
Oh, I didn't want to screw up my face.
Gee, isn't it a little late to worry about that?
You talk like you have an offer from Lockheed or something.
Well, you were born in London, weren't you, Bob?
Yes, I was, Francis. And right in my old neighborhood, the Luftwaffe dropped tons and tons of bombs. But the house I was born in is still standing up. Isn't that a miracle?
No, if it stood up under what the stork dropped, it can stand up under anything.
Thank you.
But, Bob, there's one thing. See, the way you acted during those air raids.
Are you kidding? I wasn't scared of those enemy bombers.
Well, I don't know, Bob, but you were the only man I saw who shaved the top of his head and had Open City tattooed on his skull.
Well, I wasn't sure they'd see the white flag hanging on my nose, you know. Hello?
Hello, Hope?
Yes, sir.
Hello, Jerry.
Hello.
Hey, is this Bob Hope, the well-known movie star, the well-known handsome man about town?
Yes, yes, that's right. Who is this?
This is Kelowna, the well-known liar. Say, Hope, about this trip you're going to make, how many bags should I pack?
Kelowna, you fool, I've already made the trip. I'm back on the air and I'm definitely not going anyplace.
What's that?
You heard me. I'm back on the air and I'm definitely not going anyplace.
It took him 6 years, but he finally admitted it.
Say, look, Professor, why do you say such things? What's the matter with you, anyway?
Well, I never told anybody this, Hope, but mine is a tragic story. I spent hours lying in a basket on the doorstep waiting for somebody to take me in.
When you were a baby, Kelowna?
No, last week. How else could you get a room these days?
Well, Kelowna, you promised to take care of my house. Haven't you been staying over there?
Yes, I'm at your house now, Hope, and I have a confession to make. We had a little party here last night.
You had a little party there last night? Well, what about it?
We can't find the living room.
Now, see here, Kelowna, I left you in charge of my house while I was gone, and I expect to find it just as I left it. Have you kept it in good condition?
I certainly hope. Of course, I did make a few slight changes. You remember the right wing?
Yes.
You remember the left wing?
Yes.
Superfluous, weren't they? Well, listen, there's one more thing, Hope. I put a 50-foot-wide door in the side of the living room.
You put a 50-foot-wide... Sorry. You put a 50-foot-wide door in the living room. What for?
Well, Lockheed has to have some way to get the planes out after I build them.
You know, Professor, you got the lowest IQ I ever saw.
I can't help it. My suspenders are loose.
Kelowna, look. Will you cut out this nonsense and come over here?
Well, certainly, but I'll jump in my helicopter and I'll be right there.
All right, come on. Wait, can you drive a helicopter?
Why, certainly. Here I come.
Kelowna, what happened?
Don't know. I guess I must have helioed when I should have copted.
Well, tell me, Professor, what have you been doing while I've been away?
Well, I've been acquainting myself with the finer things of life and attempting to improve my social, cultural, and aesthetic well-being by broadening the many latent facets of my inherently gregarious personality.
What does that mean?
Chasing women.
Wendell Niles, you still here?
Still here, Bob.
Step in, Randall boy.
It's the film you feel on your teeth that makes teeth look dull. Pepsodent toothpaste with Irium removes that film, uncovers the natural brightness of your smile. You see, Pepsodent, and only Pepsodent, contains Irium. It loosens film and floats it away quickly, easily, safely. And when film is gone, Pepsodent toothpaste brings new brightness to your teeth. No wonder more people than ever before use Pepsodent toothpaste today. No wonder it's number one with men in the service. Try Pepsodent toothpaste for just 1 week. See if your teeth don't feel cleaner, look brighter. See if it doesn't uncover the natural brilliance of your smile. Get a tube of Pepsodent toothpaste. And remember, Pepsodent, and only Pepsodent, contains Irium.
So girls, don't be like Miriam. Use Irium.
Thank you. Thank you, Miriam. And now I want you to meet a fellow that followed us around this past summer. Everywhere we went, we heard his voice coming out of loudspeakers. And boy, we're happy to have him with us here tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, my father, Bing Crosby.
you tell me when we will meet again? Sunday, Monday, or always? If you're satisfied, I'll be at your side. Sunday, Monday, or always. No need to tell me now what makes the world go round. When at the sight of you, my heart begins to pound. And what am I to do? Can't I be with you Sunday, Monday, or always?
Howard. Yes, sir. Good morning.
Yes, sir.
That was nice going, Frank. Well, that's Johnny Burke's song, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just had a baby boy tonight.
Congratulations to Johnny Burke. Wrote that too. Song.
Happy New Year. Well, I say, tell me, Bing, how have you been?
Oh, I feel fine, Luke Snoot. Feeling real fine. Happy, feeling no pain, positively radiating, sitting right on top of a cloud.
You're as happy as if you were on Sinatra's draft board.
Oh, I'm satisfied with just owning a piece of him.
Yeah, a piece of his throat. But say you're right. You do look good, though, right there.
You think so?
Yes, sir.
You think I look fine?
You do.
You look great.
Thank you very
no
much.
No pot tummy and everything? Yes. What happened to that pot tummy? Did you lose it?
No, I didn't lose it. During an air raid, it went around back to hide.
Lots of good cover in that country, too. But, Bob, back fresh from England and all, I thought you'd be wearing a monocle, really.
Are you kidding? They'd laugh at me here.
So what? It'd be a novelty.
And up to this time, I've been your only swooner. Say, Bing, tell me, what's the good news in Hollywood since I left?
Oh, nothing at all. That was the last good news. I must say, though, Hollywood wasn't the same with you gone, Robin.
It wasn't, huh?
No, I even saw girls walking down Vine Street without ball bats.
Tourists, eh?
Hey, Bob, about those fellas down in Africa. Do they go to our pictures?
Oh, they like our... The theaters are always filled up, Bing. Even the camels come in.
No.
That's right. Say, Bing, when you came on the screen, one camel turned to another and said, keep away from that boy. He'll have you running at Santa Anita. Not getting mercenary, but before I left, I put a bet on one of your nags.
Yes?
How'd he come out?
Well, I don't know, but if I don't hear anything by Thursday, we're going to try and locate him with radar. So, you know, you're getting back to the studio just in time, old boy.
The studio?
Just in time. There's a whole new trend, I must tell you. All the younger leading men around town have been drafted. There's nothing but the old, worn-out actors left.
Is that so? Well, I knew sooner or later your mob would click.
My mob?
Yes.
You're the only fellow I know who can remember who was president before Roosevelt. But, Bob, with all the...
Was there one?
Hey, with all the old leading men around, when you go down to a picture studio now... I want to tell you, you see something like this.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we take you to the set of Arthritis Productions, where we find two of the younger leading men, Ronald Rigger and Tyrone Mortis, getting ready to go before the camera. They speak.
I'm Ronald.
I'm Tyrone.
Any similarity between these leading men and living persons is a definite triumph for adrenaline.
Say, tell me, Tyrone, how old are you?
Well, I'm going on 80. How old are you?
I'm going on 80. Oh, look, look, here comes Betty Grable.
Yeah, I guess we're going on 80.
Say,
gosh, they sure are hard up for young actors around here.
Yes, you know who's going to play the life of Shakespeare?
Who?
They're digging up Shakespeare.
Well, I ain't doing bad. I'm going to marry Deanna Durbin.
What kind of romance is that there? She's 20 and you're 70.
Yeah, but I'll get her a ration book, won't I?
Yes, you got a point there. What pictures you making today, Taroni?
Well, I'm working in a boxing scene. The director says I fit in fine.
Sounds interesting. Who the boxing?
Me. The scene takes place in an undertaking parlor.
An undertaking parlor? What's the name of the picture?
So Proudly We Nail. It's going to be a great picture. They're spending lots of money on it. Tell me, have you seen my set?
Yeah, it's right over there in that glass of water. Oh, but see, I do dread to go on the set today. I hate making love scenes with that Betty Hutton.
Oh, you don't say, Lum. What you got again making love scenes with Betty Hutton?
Oh, that darn youngster. She jumps around so much she keeps disconnecting my heating pad.
Ronald.
Yes.
When you're going to kiss your leading lady, how do you get your lips to pucker?
I use alum.
Oh, shucks. I don't have to use alum.
Well, how do you get your lips to pucker?
I just gather them together and tie them with a string. That way you can kiss them and lasso them at the same time. I wonder where our producer is.
Yes.
Well, here I am, boys. Cecil B. Colonna, producer of all the government pictures and director of patriotic films. Also pre-Pearl Harbor dependents rented out cheap. All right, let's start shooting. This young lady is the star of the picture.
Hiya, guys.
Gosh, what's her name?
Humphreyetta Bogart. Miss Bogart, this is your leading man.
This is my leading man.
That's right, ma'am.
Why does it always happen to our side? Too little and too late. Well, come on, let's start the picture.
First, we'll take the big love scene. Ready? Light, camera, action.
Oh, Tyrone, I love you. Come put your arms around my neck.
Okay. Now for my other arm.
Doggone it, Tyrone, you're too old for these here love scenes. Here, now let me show you how it's done.
Come on, Ronald, give me a great big kiss.
Yahoo, here I come with my lips all set. Whoops, whoops. Hold it a minute.
Well, why didn't you kiss her, Ronald?
Doggone it, I couldn't. My pucker popped.
I just want to say thanks to Major General Cortland Parker and Captain Welch and Lieutenant Doyle for their courtesy here today. You know, folks, during the summer, we dropped in on your son over in Great Britain, Africa, and Sicily, and Newfoundland and Iceland, and we had a great time with him. We ate army chow with him, jumped in the ditches with him when the junkers came over. We saw the shadows of pain and tragedy on his face, and we've seen a belly laugh chase the shadows away. And he said to us, "When you get back to the States, tell the family I'm doing fine, doing fine." That's the soldier's way of saying nothing about a nightmare week of sudden death and suffering that felt like 7 days of steady rain. And doing fine is a sailor's way of saying nothing of the ocean burial of his buddy. We spent 3 months with your son, and believe me, you come back and some things here don't seem real anymore. Saturday night, the towns are buzzing with big payrolls, and some people wonder not how long the enemy will hold out, but how long this country's meat supply can hold out. At swanky hotel tables, they wonder if the end of the war isn't just around the corner. But in Sicily, I've seen men who wonder if one day could ever end. The white beaches here on Sunday seem so far from those red beaches of Italy. And the black market gas station so far from a P-38 running out of gas over the Mediterranean. And the war bond window at the local bank seems so far from those rows of little white crosses in North Africa. And maybe the cost of living is terrific. But, mister, we've still got plenty of work and self-denial and bond buying ahead of us before it equals the high cost of living on that beachhead at Salerno. We can do a lot to help bring our boys back, so let's do it, because the sooner we bring them back, the more we'll bring back. Good night.
Phone Drexel 7211 for that bond right now. Next week, we'll be back at the same time broadcasting for the naval personnel at Terminal Island, California. Don't forget, next Tuesday, Fibber, McGee, and Molly come back on the air. Since the War Department does not endorse any product, this broadcast is not intended as an endorsement of our product by the War Department. The broadcast came to you from Pasadena, California. This is Wendell Niles speaking. We'll be right back. is the National Broadcasting Company.
Bing Crosby was born Harry Lillis Crosby, Jr. in 1903 and was one of, if not the greatest all-around American entertainers of the 20th century. Without question, the greatest thing about Bing was his voice. He began singing around 1923, and by 1931, he was a huge star. Only a year later, he had his first of 55 top billings in motion pictures. That first full-length feature was entitled The Big Broadcast, and it was released in 1932. Now, in 1940, Bing teamed up with Bob Hope for the first of the seven road pictures, The Road to Singapore. And of course, Dorothy L'Amour was the love interest for both Bob and Bing throughout that movie series, although Bing pretty much always won Dorothy's heart. Now, while the team of Hope and Crosby was never an official thing, like Laurel and Hardy or Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, it did become ingrained in popular culture. You've heard how many jokes Hope made about Crosby in the last year's worth of episodes. And on Bing's radio show, he always made cracks about Hope. Did you notice the smooth banter between Hope and Crosby? I mean, they were so comfortable with each other that it sounded like they were the best of friends just having a chat. Now, although I have read that they did not get together socially very often, it seemed to be more of a professional friendship, but whatever it was, it worked. Here are a few statistics from BingCrosby.com. Between 1927 and 1948, Bing had 43 number one hit songs. He sang 13 Academy Award nominated songs in movies. In 1944, Bing won an Academy Award for Best Actor for his performance as Father O'Malley in the film Going My Way. According to the book Million Selling Records, he received 23 gold and platinum records during his career. Now, the song that was perhaps his greatest hit was White Christmas. It is the best-selling single of all time, and according to Guinness Book of World Records, his recording of White Christmas has sold over 100 million copies around the world, and at least 50 million of those sales were as singles. IMDb lists him as having 105 movie and TV acting credits in his career. He also starred on the radio for years with a whole number of sponsors, but his most famous radio show was the Kraft Music Hall, which ran from 1935 to 1946. This is why you'll hear a lot of jokes about Crosby selling cheese. Well, Bing Crosby died of a heart attack in 1977 at the age of 74. That's it for today. Please join us next Wednesday for another show with Bob Hope and come back Friday for another episode of The Life of Riley. Please send your questions and comments to host at classiccomedyotr.com. So until Friday, in the immortal words of Stephen Wright, what's another word for thesaurus?